Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers and YouTube, everywhere you listen to us. It's Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, I'm joined by everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's good. Has the birthday thing worn off yet?
Oh, yeah, it's September now, so, you know, you can't party 2 months. It's about my knowledge. I'm sure someone's tried.
Your birthday is in late August, so you only have, like, a week.
That's okay.
My birthday is November 4th, so
there are no other holidays in August. It's all about me.
Right. Right. And by the way, Richard Chasler, the comedian who was featured in Hitchcock and The Insider, said, have a grateful birthday, and I forgot to say it.
Oh, okay, thank you.
He's a big Grateful Dead fan, so I think he wants to get a high. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I said I gotcha.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Well, our guest today, I've been listening to her music all since we booked her, and I love it. I know that we love rock music, goth, and industrial, and metal, and all that. But every now and then, it's nice to listen to some good music. Good music is good music, and this young lady is a great singer, and I love it. Nicole, I'm going to send you Weekend. I think that's the track for you because you've been partying so long. That's her new single. It's Ioka. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been listening to your song. I've been watching. You do have some goth cred. I do want to tell you. Your video Elevates with the corsets. You have some goth credibility there. It looks good.
Yeah, thanks. So actually, you want to know something really interesting is that my next project is called Nightshade, after the poisonous flower that blooms at night. And there's a lot of rock elements on there. And I have a show literally named Freak Show because it's a fucking freak show. Like, I mean, I'm screaming in the mic this time and things are going to get really witchy and really dark. Weekend video is actually going to be a horror like flick. And I'm holding like a Ouija skull, where I'm like, you know, karma is my bitch and I'm that bitch because I'm a witch. And it's really coming out.
Nice.
See, this is our kind of singer right here. We love it. I can't, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so the video's going pretty, pretty cool. Like the entire project for Nightshade is going to be pretty dark. So I had to figure out how to make the most upbeat song fit into the rest of the project. So that's why I have like, I did a photo shoot with like more of a gothy look and it was like bright colors in the back and the video was like really dark. And like, we have like a, you know, in The Shining where he's like giving heads to himself. Am I allowed to say that right? Yeah. You know, when he's doing all that in The Shining and like the TV is like all staticky and shit. Like we have a replay of that. Like we remade that in the video and I'm like, at the end, you find out like I'm the person that kills everybody. It's like an urban legend kind of thing.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
It was so much fun. We shot in the middle of the desert. It was hot. And like, we found a burnt down building, abandoned house on the way there. And I was like, oh my God, it'd be so dope if we could shoot something here. And we did at the end of the night. And like, we got some really cool flicks.
Oh, that's cool. That's what do you call it? Urban something. I don't know. There's like videos on YouTube where everybody goes to these abandoned houses. It's urban something.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, the conversation's already started. I haven't even done our sponsor yet. Let me get that. I got to match your energy because you're all full of energy. Nicole, you finally tried? Did you finally try Raise Energy Drinks?
I haven't yet. I'm still waiting because I want to share it with a friend.
I gave her one for her birthday. This is our sponsor, yeah. Raise Energy Drinks. I love energy drinks. I've tried them all, and this is the best. This is actually Baja Lime flavored. Tastes just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, but better. Zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. You go to the description of the show and your podcast catchers or YouTube, you get 15% off a case, and I'm down to my last three, so I'm going to have to get a case very soon. That's delicious. And our other sponsor, and we have a sponsor that we will talk about a little bit later, but Audible. You're on the road, you're shooting videos. You're always, you need to, you know, it's always fun to listen to music, but listen to a book once in a while. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, you get any book and access to hundreds of Audible originals for a month. for free. I'm giving this away. audibletrial.com/DMS. Now, Ioka, I know that Kanye West is one of your inspirations. Yeah. I also know that you're a Reiki master.
Yeah.
there's a lot of Reiki books, Art of Psychic Reiki, Reiki for Beginners, Psychic Empath, 5 books in 1, Emotional Intelligence, all sorts of stuff about if you want to become a Reiki master. And also, I was looking up Kanye West because I know that's one of your inspirations. And the first book that comes up is very interesting. I might actually check it out. Kanye West Owes Me $300. And other true stories from a white rapper who almost made it big by Jensen Karp. And there's all sorts of biographies of Kanye West as well if you want more of a straight book. But anything you want. You don't have to read about Kanye West. You can read about whatever you want. I just listened to Rob Halford's autobiography from Judas Priest about being the biggest heavy metal singer in the world and being a closeted gay man. It's fascinating. Whatever you want. Fiction, yeah. Nonfiction, horror, whatever. They got all sorts of Stephen King books. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Free book on us. And you can cancel the next day. You keep the book. Now, let me ask you, where are you from? Because I've seen and heard a bunch of different things. Something says you're from New York. Something says you're from LA. And I heard a podcast. You said you were raised in Maryland. What's going on?
Yeah. You know what I've noticed? Once you start like getting interviewed and then other people start like doing publications, it's like, it becomes like through the grapevine, like almost urban legends, like everything where it's like, she's from here. No, she's from here. She killed a whale. You know, it's like, okay, I'm from Maryland.
Yeah.
I'm from DMV. Okay.
Why would they, very few people were born in New York or LA. I don't know why they would have to lie about that.
I just think, you know, when somebody kind of like skims sounds, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna write that, and that. Okay. That's great. I really feel like that's what happens. Like, I noticed that sometimes when after you get something like published, like an interview or whatever, people will like literally just copy and paste it for their site and they're not like actually paying attention. And they change just enough so that they don't get like hit with plagiarism, you know? I think right. That's what happens.
Well, we're not plagiarizing here. We're going to get to the truth. And from what I understand, you have quite an operatic range of voice. Even the recordings that you've done don't even bring you just... But you've always, when you grew up, you were nervous about singing.
Yes. Yes.
What is so your octave range? Like, you're like a soprano. I mean, not like the gangsters on TV. You're like an opera soprano.
Yes. I'm what you call a coloratura soprano. So, you know, the person that can sing the magic flute, that was completely not the right key, but you got it right. Like,
right, yeah. You should see me singing the magic flute. It's horrible.
Yeah,
I did a couple of singers. It's when you hit them, when you get them to really hit those high notes, it's great. But you were have an operatic range, but you were nervous about singing.
Yeah, I mean, well, so I'm an introvert and I never like really planned on being a singer. I love singing, but I just didn't think it was for me. Like, so I was more like, I was actually going to go more of the engineer route and the production route because I play a lot of instruments as well. But like, I had a piano teacher in the sixth grade and he asked me to like do some notes and he was like, well, if you want, you have a naturally nice voice, I could teach you how to sing. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I just didn't really like go back. So I was like, oh, he's being weird. So then I like fast forward and I went off to college a little early. Like I was like 17 when I got to college, just I have a late birthday. So it's like when I got there, I made friends that were like singing. They were like, oh, you can kind of sing. And then I started like, you know, doing singing and stuff with them. And then I wanted to be a voice teacher because I wanted to be on the back end of music anyway. And I didn't expect to sing to be the voice teacher because it's like, I know the theory, you know, I know how to do it. But anyway, I had to join choir and then he shocked me because he was trying to test my range. I'm sorry, like people are dying in LA right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's
going on back there.
I didn't know if they were gonna come and get Nicole or, I know it's not around here in Los Feliz, so I don't know what's going on. I wish I knew you were in LA. We would have had you in the studio, but This is
Okay, sorry. So there we go. Okay. He was like, "Oh, well, you can be an alto two, or you can be a soprano one. What do you want to do?" And I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "Soprano two." And then, you know, I just started with training from there. That's when I started being classically trained, and then I took the private voice lessons and continued my trainer into my adulthood. And my last teacher, Karen Nemorella, bless her heart. Karen is the reason why I am like the voice I have today, which you will hear on Nightshade. Like, she was like, "Do you even know how you're doing what you're doing?" And I was like, "No." She was like, "She's doing this thing and she doesn't even know how she's doing it." She's like really like feisty. And so that really actually broke me out of my shell. I guess you could say like imposter syndrome of being able to sing, is that she is a very talented singer, toured the world, moved to France to sing, and she's like blown away by my voice. And I was just like, "Oh, maybe I can really do this," you know? So I never thought of myself as a singer. So I was never comfortable with it until Karen laughed and said, "She doesn't even know how she's doing that, yet she's doing this thing that a lot of people can't do." So that's what sold me.
That's great. And that's in complete contrast to all the people in the music business that can't sing worth a shit, but think they can.
Say lappy.
You don't need auto-tune.
I hate auto-tune. I actually, when I first started working in the studio, and my engineer, you know, we had never worked together, and he put auto-tune on. I was like, "Oh my God, what is that? Can you fix it?" And he was like, "Oh, you don't like the auto-tune sound." I was like, "Absolutely not." So yeah, hate it.
Yeah, and what because you were described as a multi-instrumentalist, and you play piano. We've established that. What other instruments do you play?
So I can play the clarinet, I can play the cornet, and I can play a little bit of I could obviously play the trumpet too, because I can play the cornet. It's like the little one. And then my favorite is actually my guitar.
Okay.
So yeah, so I love playing guitar. I mostly played acoustic, but then I actually have my electric sitting there because I am going to learn how to shred before I die.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know a couple people that I know a few shredders. I can hook you up with the right people, but it's well, that's great. I mean, a lot of people in the music business, especially maybe this is a blanket statement that is wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong. In the pop and R&B field, you don't see a lot of people that play as many instruments as you do, that write their own music, that have a natural voice like you do.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, that goes into just other things. I think with me, it's weird. You know, it's not like a everyday occurrence. And I don't really think it's something that's like, should be expected, you know, like some people aren't instrumentalists, but have a beautiful voice, XYZ. I'm just like that. Like, you know, so I actually do have a test pretty high on my IQ range. So it kind of just makes me a little weird.
You're not only very smart, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm getting a bit of a nerd vibe here and I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So, fun fact, when my IQ got tested, I'm in the top 1% of the world. So I'm an INTJ. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Myers-Briggs, but I'm very, very to myself, definitely kind of nerdy. I had to learn how to not talk about weird shit, you know, with like my friends. They're like, who thinks about shit like that? I'm like, "Oh, my bad."
We do. And we're going to talk about it on this show. We're going to talk about nerdy, weird shit.
Great, love it.
Before we do, because I've been listening to your music, and as I said, I was watching the Elevate video many a time just to for research purposes. But the first album that you put out that Elevate is on, and forgive me if I don't have the name of the album. Here we go, Venus. Mm-hmm. I have to say, now it's a very evocative cover image on Venus. I will describe it to Nicole and our listeners and watchers. And I'm going to post it on the YouTube, but it's your back, I'm assuming, heavily tattooed with two sets of hands.
Yeah.
Seems like a male hand, male sets of hands, and a female sets of hands. Interesting. Evocative.
Thank you.
So, are those real tattoos, first of all?
Yep. Can you see them?
I see some of them, yes.
Yeah. Those are all real.
Okay.
Nice.
Thanks. Yes. So I wanted like a really simple cover where my hands were like holding my neck with my tattoos and just white. And when we were doing the shoot, we were like, something's missing. And so then my photographer's like, Grant, you get there now, my manager. So that's actually my manager's hands in the freaking photo off of a like impromptu from the photographer. So it doesn't look as amazing as it was. It was very uncomfortable. He's like squeezing his shoulders, trying to make sure you can't see them
right
in the camera. It was a lot more awkward than it looked.
So he gets his 10% and he gets to touch you on your album cover. That's a good deal.
Yeah, I know, right? Happy accident for him, I guess.
Yeah. And while you're topless. So you actually presumably got to see your breasts, but I'm sure he wasn't looking after, he was looking the other way.
You know, there were pasties. So, you know, imagination.
Oh, no. I've used my imagination. Trust me. It's definitely, but. And I really like, there's a couple tracks. Elevate is definitely one of them. But there's another one right after Elevate. So bad, I gotta put on title and just look at it. Oh, yeah, Wine. I really like Wine.
Really?
Do you hate whiners, Nicole?
People who whine or yes. People who drink wine?
No, people who whine. W-H-I-N-E.
Okay.
You hate whiners?
I mean, I'm not into negative people or negative energy. I don't like to be around it, so.
You will love this song. I love this song. What was the impetus for Wine?
It was like a really, I was like, you know, I want to have a fun song up here. And, you know, it's, you know, kind of has that reggaeton vibe. And, you know, whining is, you know, like the wine and the culture. So.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought they were actually.
Yeah. Yes,
don't sing about me. What are you doing? You don't sing about me. I thought it was that kind of wine is a whole different thing. I didn't know.
Yeah, so it's actually about the dance move, and so it's just like, you know, Shawty, why don't you sing my way? So it's just like, you know, just a fun, flirty, like, you know, you're at the club and you're kind of drunk and having fun.
Oh, it's a good time. I like it. I really like.
I'd like that.
See, now it's not about whiners. Yeah, you like it. I've been corrected. I thought it was all about whiners. I thought I must have misheard the lyrics.
Can we be whiners, like W-I-N-E-R-S?
Yeah, I thought that's it was about whiners.
Yeah.
That's the call. But
I'm actually drinking champagne while we're doing this interview. So
you're ahead.
It's left over from my birthday party.
Yes. Do you have any Fireball left for over from last show?
I do have some Fireball left. It's in my fridge.
That's so brave. Fireball is brave. It sneaks.
I like it. I'm a big fan of cinnamon.
Go ahead, Nicole.
I love cinnamon. You know, I actually just took a food sensitivity test and I'm sensitive to cinnamon. So I moved so when I was in New York, I discovered horchata because it is the most amazing stuff in the world. And every single time I drank two big things of horchata because I can't do anything in like, not in excess when I get excited. So, and like my sinuses were like screwed up the entire week. And I was like, it's just horchata. What is it? And it was the cinnamon. And I'm so upset about that.
Bummer. I love cinnamon. Cinnamon's one of my favorite tastes.
Me too. I'm so sorry to hear that. Cinnamon's cool. So you gotta cut back on the horchata, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I can't even. So basically, like, you know, you do the food sensitivity test and then you can't eat the foods that you're sensitive to for like at least 4 months. And then you get retested to see if like your gut has healed enough or whatever. And then you can eat it again, hopefully. So.
All right. Well, I'm crossing my fingers for you.
Thanks.
And what was the inspiration for Elevate?
So Elevate. Okay. Elevate was kind of a song that I wrote where I do like it a lot.
All right.
Sorry.
That's sorry, okay. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, Ash. Okay. So Elevate was a song that I wrote. That was just basically like, I was like, I'm going to put out an R&B song that I know people will like. So then I just wrote it in like the formatting that people like the music out that's right now, like that's out right now. And I was like, okay, this fits it. And I was like, there you go.
So basically you just took like the algorithm and kind of followed it along.
That's the only algorithm song I have. Like, so Elevate, it does, like I pulled on like my early 20s when I was being like dumb and like kind of toxic, or like, I just felt like conflicted and I didn't know like what to do. And I hadn't learned accountability or anything else that makes you an adult. So it was like, you know, I pulled on my worst moments and some of my most relatable moments, like, you know, when I was like younger, and just put in a song and, you know, made it sound like something that they would like. And it did work because I think I peaked at like 50 on the radio charts. So great. That was great. Yeah. So like I had like one of the highest jump of the independent artists on the chart for like a week or two. So I thought that was like really cool. So I was like, oh, look, that little algorithm thing works. Yay.
Well, it's interesting. I read an interview with Rivers Cuomo, the lead singer of Weezer, and he said that he does the same thing. He takes old Nirvana songs, kind of pulls them apart and figures out how to write a song like that.
So basically, like, I did do something like kind of similar, where it was like, for me, what I did was I looked at like the common song structure. So I broke down the structure and then I looked at the tone that's popular right now. And the tone that's popular is kind of like, I'm gonna be broody and toxic and I'm gonna, you know, act like it's not my fault that I'm here. So it's like, I took that tone and then I said, okay, now how have I been like this? And how have I felt like conflicted, you know, about wanting to be with someone but not wanting, because I wanted it to be like not that serious, like, but right, serious enough where it was like enough people could relate to it, you know.
Sure.
Everybody hasn't been in like a 10-year commitment and everybody hasn't, you know, had one night stands. So it's just like, so what's the happy medium? A situationship.
Funny you should mention that. Nicole's been talking about that all day.
I have been. I when I was younger, I got fed a bunch of fairy tale nonsense, like we all did, that you're going to meet some guy and he's going to make all your problems go away and you'll be happy and you'll start a family, blah, 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 white picket fence. And then, like, it really made me chase some toxic people because you're so determined to make it work, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, now that I've healed myself and I'm not in pain or lonely and I'm a whole complete person on my own, what am I looking for from the opposite sex? And I realized I just want to be with the one that is fun, you know, the one that brings joy to my life. I want to have fun. I don't want any drama. I want just to have fun. And that might be like, that might mean that I don't have just one partner. That might mean that I have like several partners. I don't know yet what it means, but I do know that if it isn't fun, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I can relate to that because like I was actually talking to someone about, like, you know, we think we know what we want once, you know, like when we first start off in relationships and then we get it and then we're like, shit, I need this, this, and this too. And then it's like, you know, over the course of a few trial and errors, you kind of figure out exactly what your hard lines are, what you can compromise on and what you can't. And like, even for the whole subject of polyamory, like I'm polyamorous. So yeah. So, but the way I'm polyamorous is where I have like, you know, two partners, I'll date one male and I'll date one female and I won't like date outside of those two. And then, you know, however they want to do it, usually I kind of get with people who don't want to date anybody else, which works for me. And so, but that's, it works for them because it's almost like,
that way. There's always one that it's usually a guy and a girl and the girl's like, you can date other girls. No. I can date other guys, but you can't date other girls.
Yeah.
And then so the guy's like, oh, I get to see you with another girl. It's like, I don't know. We have a lot of polyamorous friends. Matter of fact, I think Orpheus is due to come back on the show again. We got to talk about this. I had sex with two girls within a 24-hour period. That's as wild as I've ever gotten. But good for you. Good for you. It works for you, having one man and one woman, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, for me, it works because it's two different energies. And so it's like it's two different expressions for me. But like we talked about, I think another thing is just with my brain, I get bored kind of.
You have ADD. Easily.
Yeah. So it's like, it kind of gives me a lot of like brain activity in a sense where it's like, I have to learn how to communicate.
ADD is what you have.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, actually, you know, okay, so funny story about that. So I actually was wondering if I had ADD, right? And mm-hmm. So then I scheduled an appointment to get tested for it. And then she said that we had to do a part two. And I haven't gotten around to scheduling part two. So I just thought that was a real ironic ADD joke. You know, whatever.
Your ADD is so bad you can't even take an ADD test.
I mean, well, you know, to my defense, I scheduled the second part, but she canceled. And then I was like, okay, I'll get around to rescheduling it. That's my final answer.
Okay, great. So, Nicole, I think that maybe, what do you think? One guy, one girl? You think that's going to work for you?
I know you no, like No, I think I want to have a... We've had this conversation
before.
You don't
want to have it defined. Just want to play around right now.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm back on Tinder. And like, there's someone I really like right now, but they don't live in Los Angeles. So it's kind of like, I'm not going to pursue anything with someone who isn't around. So I'm just staying friends with that person. But I was thinking about, what do I like about that person? And the night that I met them, we were at Katana, and they bring out these giant fried fishes, like they dip the whole fish and fried the whole fish and put it on a platter. They brought out three of them, and he pulls a knife out and cuts me a piece of fish. And that was so cool. And I'm like, I was at this party at Labor Day, and this guy named Alex, like, just like was having a wild time, and then just grabbed me and kissed me. And it went back to me like, whoa, like a Neanderthal. And I was like, that was fun too. And I realized what I really like about relationships, even the ones that don't seem like that are kind of toxic. It's not the toxic stuff I like, it's the fun stuff. It's the entertainment part of it. Because when things were good with those people, they were a lot of fun. And I realized I just want fun. Like, I don't want a partner.
You want a manly man, a man that will...
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like you want a ooga ooga primal masculine man.
I prefer to do the leading because it makes me feel more comfortable. But what I want isn't like a Superman. I want a guy who's fun. That's totally different than... just being a strong dude. I don't really like strong men.
It sounds like you do.
Yeah, I was, what I'm getting, let me know what you think, Dark Mark. This is what I'm getting, okay? I'm getting that you want someone who's confident, but a lot of men who are confident and outgoing are comfortable with themselves, and so sometimes that can present as being a very masculine man if that's like, you know, how he's identifying, right? So I think it's the confidence and outgoingness, but I feel like it conflicts with your control issues because you want that, but and you want him to take the lead, but only in the way that you want him to take the lead.
Exactly. And also then I don't want someone too fun that they're irresponsible. Like the guy who grabbed me and made out with me, I'd never date him. He was fun, but he was really drunk and not in control of himself. So I don't want a strong man. I want a man that's outgoing and adventurous. That's more accurate.
I think it's the confidence.
I think you're right on the money, Ayoka. But also, there's a couple other things here going on here in that she was, you know, the whole fish thing and all that. I think she does like a man that takes charge. The thing is, you're not into that big, bulky, swole look. You're attracted to skinny guys, but
I'm attracted to like nerdy guys.
It's the energy.
Nerdy guys, but you want them to be able to change a tire, to be able to be a man.
Reliable.
You're missing the point. It has nothing to do with their masculinity. It has to do with their fun level. They could be a guy who wants to dress up in high heels and a dress as long as they're fun. I'm not about the masculinity. I'm the masculine one usually. I'm about, are they going to show me something new? Are we going to laugh together? Are they going to bring joy to my life? I want someone who brings joy to my life.
I think now is a good time to talk about this weekend, because I do want to talk about weekend for two things. Speaking of alpha males and alpha females, the line that really got me in weekend, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, is I got my hair, I got my nails, and I'm ready to fight a bitch. Now, I look so good, I'm ready to fight a bitch.
Okay. All right, so this is what happened. I had some Tito's before I made the song Weekend, because I was like, okay, so are you familiar with who Chief Keef is?
Yes.
All right. I was listening to his song, Don't Like, and I was like, oh my God, this just makes me so excited. And I was like, I want to make a song that makes people excited, you know? And so then that was like as excited as I could get, because I'm kind of like, you know, I love being a sad bitch. So it's like, you know,
That's pretty excitable. I look so good, right? To fight a bitch. That's pretty excitable.
I know. So I was like, I had to get a little like out my element, like drank a little bit so that I could like just go, right? So like when I said it, it didn't necessarily like make sense, but it was just like I was feeling like pumped up and like a little like aggressive, because I was like, damn, I look fucking good like that.
Right.
Like, I wish a bitch would try me tonight because I'm feeling myself.
Right. Now, except for 2 minutes ago when I suggested somebody contact you. Nicole, have you ever looked so good that you want to fight a bitch?
No.
But you have looked so good that you're like, I rule this room. I'm the hottest person here.
No.
Well, I have.
Are you a Virgo?
I am a Virgo.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
Virgos are more low-key and, like, composed. Like, so I have a Leo moon, which makes me very exuberant and extra sometimes. Hits the fucking, like, big-ass red hair. But Virgos are kind of like, I don't have time for that. So... You know,
but I do have a Leo rising and a Leo Mars, so I do have that tendency to want to be in the spotlight, but I want to share the spotlight. Like, if you haven't noticed, I take pictures with all my girls. I like rolling in a squad. So it's never about me. It's about the environment. Like, I don't make it about me.
Okay.
But I understand the concept of it. Like, she looked good.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, I think for me, I don't like to like steal the spotlight, but I feel like I welcome it.
You're in your zone, you know. Don't let me get in my zone. Don't let me get in my zone. I'm definitely in my zone.
And also, you talk about you know, getting ready for the weekend. You know, you drink, you smoke a little bit, which brings us to our sponsor. Our last sponsor, which is Renegade Kush and Renegade CBD. Nicole, tell them how great Renegade CBD and Renegade Kush is.
Well, they're delicious. The gummies are amazing. The Kush is very fine, and you get a good high, and it's a good clean high, and it's a lot of fun. It's a very chill vibe. I'm currently out and waiting on being restocked, and I'm very disappointed because I love that shit.
I need to get mine. I don't know where my shipment is. Hopefully I get that along with my raised energy drink.
Charlie hasn't been in touch with me. And if you're watching this, Charlie, I tried calling you today and I'm like, where's Charlie?
Uh-oh. Charlie is the owner of Renegade Radio, Renegade Kush, and Renegade CBD. He's back from Sturgis. Who knows? Hopefully he didn't catch COVID over there. He's all right. And you wore COVID into songs. I thought that was kind of interesting. Hmm? What was it? You're all over like COVID? Wasn't that one of your songs?
what did I say? Wait, say it one more time to make sure I heard what you said.
You have a lyric that's something like, you're all over like COVID.
I said, got my bitches spread like the coronavirus.
Right. I'm paraphrasing, yes. The bitches are spread like coronavirus.
I've got these bitches scared like we own a virus.
Ah, even better. I've just been listening. I've just been following the beat. But you're working on your new album.
Mm-hmm.
It's got things now. On your Instagram page, it says that you're a divine healer.
Yeah, so that was the wording that my team came up with. But yes, I technically am. I am a shaman. I come from a line of Native American medicine women. And I'm also Creole, so we have some, you know, magic from that in too. Mm-hmm. And then I do Reiki.
I'm sorry, you said what?
And then I do Reiki too.
I thought you said you were freaky. I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? No, I know, you do Reiki, yes.
Yeah.
That's actually the name Ioka comes from. That's not your birth name.
No. So Ioka means she brought happiness. So that's why I chose the name, because I started off my journey and career path as a healer.
Okay. And awesome. and you said you're a witch as well.
Hmm?
Go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, nothing. I was just gonna say I'm a witch. So
I remember when we had Willie Hayden on the first time.
I did a tarot.
Sorry?
Nothing. Never mind. I thought you were talking about something else.
No,
we've done a lot of magic stuff on this show.
Oh, really?
You never get to talk magic. Now you get to talk magic.
I didn't say it. I mean, we talked magic. I gave you a tarot reading.
Right.
For me, I do manifestation work with crystals and sigils and candles. I think I would like to be able to do Reiki. Like, I would like to be able to feel people's energies. Like, I feel I can sense energy, but I can't do what she does, which is the ability to feel their energies so well you can heal them. That's pretty impressive.
Thanks. Yeah. So with Reiki and everything, I had a teacher who was trained in the healing arts and stuff. And you get attunements. So the thing about Reiki is once you get attuned, and especially if you get attuned from the right person, they start to teach you how to but as soon as you get attuned, your energy changes. Like, your energy will never feel the same after you get attuned, because your energetic makeup has to shift just a little bit for you to be able to project energy in such a way that is required, you know, for healing. So with magic, it's, solely based off of basically intentions and then any connections that you have with entities or whatever. But with Reiki or with healing, it's more than that. It's kind of the way that you project the energy. It's not your energy. It's almost like an energy that you channel through yourself. And it's almost like you give it the coding, you give it the information as to how to form itself to the person. So it's a lot more of being an energetic channel over energetic manipulation that happens with magic. So the way the body processes it is different.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question about energy. Honestly, I didn't think we were going to get so esoteric about in the show today, but that's fine. I this is great. And Nicole will tell you, I've been kind of, it's weird, as a performer, my energy has been off as of late. I think I've gone through it, because I had a really killer set, a couple really killer sets recently, but I was kind of treading water energy-wise just in my whole life. I was just, and I know that being secluded because of the coronavirus and not seeing friends and family as much as you would like affects me, but I was really in sort of a down place. And even when I was going to perform, it just wasn't the same. My energy wasn't the same. And I know the jokes were the same, but my energy wasn't the same. And I wasn't getting the big laughs that the jokes demanded. And other things in my life were just I just didn't have it. Is there something, is there an exercise I could do to have that energy? Because when I have that energy, I'm unstoppable.
I feel like you need to do some sort of a purification for yourself, and Nicole would be able to help you with that. Because I think that something's attached to you that you kind of just picked up from being out. It's very normal. It happens all the time. But it seems like maybe there's something that has attached to you just from being out. And it's weighing down on you. It's kind of draining you a little bit, and it's feeding off of depressive thoughts and things like that.
Right. And, you know, those are pretty much all the thoughts I have. Now, I joke about that, but, you know, it just, in all honesty, I just wasn't myself. It's just weird. Sometimes you wake up, sometimes you go out and you're in a social environment, or you're doing singing or doing comedy or whatever you're doing. And you're on your game, and you just everything just flows naturally, and it's just amazing. And then there's some days where you're not yourself.
It may not be a spirit attachment like she suggested. It could also be cosmic. Like, there could be stuff going on in your chart.
It could be a transit, but I do see, like, I feel like it's also the shift. I can just sense it a little bit that there is something there that just needs to be moved out. It's something that's just on your aura. It's nothing like too serious, but I think that's why, if you notice like the line of thinking, I'm not saying like, obviously this is all of it, but I feel like a contributor is just like, it's feeding off of a certain emotion, like off of a certain thought. So that's like, you know, when things attached to us, which is very normal, it's just, you know, certain things feed off of certain vibrations, I guess you could say, and so different thoughts and emotions resonate with different things. So that's, it just seems like it's just kind of just a little bit more of a disparaging type of attitude a little bit, you know, but it feels almost intrusive. Like, you try to be positive and then it's like, bam, it comes in, like, but you know, like something makes you second guess the positivity more than usual, right. You know, just second guessing yourself. That's a very common thing that can happen sometimes. And it could be something that's going on in your astrology and your transits. You know, we've had like some pretty intense Aquarius stuff going on, and with you being a Scorpio, you could have been affected by some of that. But I do
still think I seem to be coming out of it. So I think the last week's been really good. So
yeah, I feel like if you would just do like a really basic cleansing, it would still help. Like, it'll just help refresh you and renew you. And it could be something as easy as, if, you know, Nicole has her crystals, or she could do like a saging or something for you.
Or an enema, whatever, you know, whatever. I can cleanse you. I mean, I really want to get cleansed. Now, I appreciate all the mystical talk and mystical advice. Let's go back to the nerd stuff, because every beautiful woman says this, but in your case, I kind of believe it, that, oh, when I was in school, when I grew up, when I was a little girl, I was a nerd and none of the boys liked me and they didn't want to talk to me, right?
So this is twofold for me. So the first thing is, I was a nerd. So I actually have, you know, like different awards for, you know, just growing up in Maryland, they had awards for like kids that were like a minority that performed top in the county in the schools and stuff. So I won those awards a few times. I was actually a tomboy. And so I used to climb trees and fight boys, and we would just be out there. Like, my best friend was a boy, and he would.
I mean, you look so good, you could fight a bitch.
Like, so my best friend, when I was like 7, he would stand outside of my balcony and he'd be like, Danielle.
Now we know the real name.
Yeah. Right. Like, ooh. Like, seriously. Yeah, I know. I forget that people don't know. I'm still getting used to people not knowing.
It took me 45 minutes. We got it out of you.
Huh?
We took us 45 minutes and we got it out of you.
That's true. So like, yeah. So like, you know, he would literally stand out there for like 30 minutes and my mom would be so annoyed if I wasn't there. But yeah, so I was a tomboy and I always got along with the guys, and I never like really, I kind of friend zoned myself. I was very aloof. So I've always been pretty, but I've been very aloof, where I'm just like, you know, they don't like me. But like, you know, I would get like, I would actually get love notes in my locker, and I had crushes and all that shit.
Oh, okay, but, so yeah, you're the exact opposite.
But But yeah, but the thing was that I was still like nerdy in terms of like my interests. I always talked to the nerds. Like I always felt drawn to the people that everybody picked on, like, cause I felt like they were more interesting. So it was a weird situation because I was pretty, like I was popular, but it was like, my friends were like the people who were the outcast. And because I felt like an outcast. And it was weird because it was like, for me, I actually kind of resented my parents a little bit because I felt like people were more fascinated with the way I looked and like didn't want to know me. And so for me, that was isolating just because I was like kind of, I was like adopted. So it's like I was outcast by my parents, you know? And so then like living and feeling out of place and not really fitting in anywhere, like that was very hard for me in high school, but nobody ever thought like anything was wrong with me because I was pretty. And nobody ever thought that like, oh yeah, she is really smart or, you know, anything like that. So my friends were the nerds. My friends were the outcasts. And like, some of my friends were like the popular kids, but you know, it was just like, you know, like that.
You spread the love around.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I kind of hung with a little bit of everybody, but that's how like my music taste is, you know, like,
right.
It's like, yeah, Kanye, I love Kanye, but also I like fucking grew up off the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the metal band named Kitty. Like I literally, me and my friend, my best friend tried to start a rock group, a garage band, because we wanted to be like Kitty. I actually have Screamo coming out on a song.
Right. Which is now, since you played the clarinet and the cornet and all that, were you in the school band? Were you one of his band?
I would not join the band. I was I'm not. And what did they call that? Social suicide? I was like, I'm not joining the band. Mean Girl said it's social suicide. But no, I just didn't want to be in a band. I had like a lot of my friends were in the band, but, and I tried to actually, when I was in college, I technically joined the band because I became a line, one of the line girls, but I was just like, I can't do this. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to go back to playing my instruments.
What's the nerdiest thing you did in school?
What is the nerdiest thing that I did in school?
And by the way, I could top you.
Huh? Okay.
Whatever so you say, see. I can top you.
I'd say the nerdiest thing that, like, I did curriculum-wise.
What's that?
What do you mean, like, in school, like, in, like, a program, or just in general?
Anything you did is like, oh, man, what a nerd. It could be a class that you took. It could be, playing Dungeons & Dragons. It could be,
I was a fucking gamer. Like, yeah, Soul Calibur, like that was my shit. Like I was very invested. Every Soul Calibur that came out, every Mortal Kombat that came out, because I had three cousins and they were all boys, so like I did what they did. Like, you know, they throw me down the stairs and then we play video games. So like
I love Soul Calibur and I love Mortal Kombat. Both were great.
Yeah, I was very invested. That's okay.
Nerdy. Nicole, what's the nerdiest thing you did?
I was on the speech and debate team. I lettered in speech, which is really hard to do. You have to spend a lot of time. That's pretty nerdy.
But look at you. You're on a podcast now.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a letter in speech. That's my claim to fame. Not sports. Speech.
I got you both beat.
So what is it?
I went to yearbook camp.
Yeah. What is that?
I was the editor of the yearbook, and they sent us to camp at this college in San Diego, USD. So for a week, I lived on campus, and we learned about yearbook techniques and how to use spot color, fonts, how to design pictures. I mentioned this on another podcast that people, they had the same reaction you guys did. Like, what? Like,
yeah, that's pretty nerdy. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I think that trumps pretty much everybody. By the way, right. I had a great time. They had people from all over the country at this yearbook camp. And you know, the other reason I had a good time, I was 15 at the time. Yeah, 15. There were three girls to every guy. The male one was one floor, and they had three floors of women. And then, yeah, that was my first kiss.
That's so sweet.
Was we had a cruise at the end of the yearbook camp, and I ended up chatting up a beautiful woman. I don't know where, I think she's from Arizona, and we made out.
Oh, that's so cute. So I love it.
That's where I'm coming from. Anyway,
the nerdy love story.
Yes,
we're
a bunch of nerds.
Love it.
Now you've been recording, and you had your last album came out last year. You're coming out with singles this year. Now, why is Elevate the only video?
Because of COVID. So like we were literally, I was like, okay, so it's so crazy because I was about to book the venue for the Need to Know video, and something was just like, don't do it. I was like, why not? A week later, everything shut down. I was like, well, there you fucking go. So that's basically what happened. It was just COVID. It really stopped me. And then like I moved from New York out here. And then I was like, and then we were going to put out a video for the song 2 a.m. But then we just saw like it would just kind of be like a waste of money when we could just put it into the new project, because we're pretty much, you know, I feel like, you know, Venus did its thing, it did its run, and, you know, my new project was already like almost finished. So it's just like we shouldn't even like put $7,000 into a video for the old project. We should just wait. And so that's why we went ahead and just, you know, we just finished doing Weekend's video.
Right.
And I'm like, I wish I could just like hide in a cave and not be like bothered and just put out music and not have to be on Instagram. If you haven't noticed, I have the hardest time posting on Instagram. I only post like, I'm supposed to post like 3 times a week, but I post maybe like once every week, every other week. It's terrible. Like I'm trying to get better at it.
Well, I actually shared one of your posts with Nicole because I think it's an older post. I don't know, but it's a lovely post of, it's a lovely picture of you face down on the bed, and it says, and I'm paraphrasing again because I can't say the word, what you won't do, another brother will do.
Oh, what you won't do, another nigga will. Yeah.
Yes. And Nicole, I said that to Nicole because she's, you know, because of her, you know, situation. She's ready to date, but not get serious.
Yep. Yeah, basically.
And also, it could turn into something serious down the line. Like, it's not like I've just completely thrown off the idea. I just am more focused on the present than I am the future now. I just want to have fun in the present.
Anyway, yeah.
That's great.
I see your lights going, Ayoko, but let me ask you a couple of questions. So, hopefully, at some point next year, you can tour, I would think. You'd like to do that? Or you're just
I guess a
couple 5 years, maybe never.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess technically, yes, I would like to do that for the marker of success that says, but I sort of got, okay, yeah, okay, you know.
Have you ever performed live as shy as you are?
I have, but like I just want to stay home. So I'm going to tell you why you probably are picking up my nerdy vibes too, because all I want to do is play The Sims, get my new mods, and like really just create a lot of scandal on my game. Okay. Like I literally will, I have a projector. I will sit, I will watch my sci-fis. Oh, I love sci-fi. Watch my sci-fis. I watch Joker. So on my new project, that show Freak Show, I literally watched it, like I binge watched the Joker for like a week straight. It's like a comfort movie. And okay. I don't know what that says about me. But
Joker is a comfort movie for you.
Huh?
Joker is a comfort movie for you.
Joker is one of my comfort movies. I just feel like
either that or a Siberian film. I mean, you know, we gotta get our comfort wherever we can get it. And by the way,
really?
Google a Siberian film
I was gonna say, if you don't already know what that is,
Human Centipede, Joker, you know, he's comfortable.
I like literally binge watched Joker for like a week, and then I wrote that song because, like, you know, I just really love the cinematography. Like, I love his struggle. I love how, like, I felt depressed after I watched it the first time. And I said, that is fucking amazing. Like, that movie just made me feel like that was my life. And I just love that. It's so like cathartic almost, or it's, I don't know. I just love being
a set. Yeah, when you watch something that's art that is dark and disturbing, it can be cathartic.
I love it. It's honestly, you're gonna see like a couple of my videos that I'm putting out with Nightshade are gonna be dark and disturbing. So it's like, I love it too. Like, horror is probably my favorite genre, actually. So I thought it was so interesting that you wanted to do the podcast with me, because I was like, he only heard Venus. It's so light and bright. I was like, he has no idea that we actually get along way more than he even knows.
Oh, right. No, now. I can tell I can tell we're gonna be friends, all three of us. I'm getting a vibe right here. It's great, and I'm glad that you came on the podcast. I know that you don't go on a lot of them.
But no, me too.
But
I felt super chatty. I wish we could have covered more.
We could still talk. I mean, we're still going. But what else would you like to cover?
Oh no, I just wanted to talk about some of the other things, like the nerdy shit you guys are into now. My list of nerdy shit is anthologies. I don't necessarily like Black Mirror that much, because I feel like it got really preachy and high horsey and then repetitive.
Okay.
And of course, you know, I love playing The Sims, but you know, I like to game still. I have the little VR thing. I play that all the time. I don't know. Oh, wow. Like, I'm kind of a gamer. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
about you guys?
I'm not that, I'm not a big gamer.
I wrote an anthology called Some Fucked Up Shit. I think you'd like it.
I'm not trying
to pitch myself to you. I think it's definitely one of the things you would probably like.
No, I'm already sold from the title, Some Fucked Up Shit.
I'll follow you on Instagram and we'll talk about it. I'll see if I can find you a copy.
Thank you, for sure.
Yeah. There are two volumes to it. The second one is all ghost stories. So it's Some Fucked Up Shit and Some Fucked Up Shit Ghosts.
You know, it's funny because I really like your vibe. So then I'm like really bubbly, and it's like, I can't help it because I'm a Libra. So I feel all annoying because I'm like, she's so cool. She reminds me of Daria. And I'm like, I'm up here being all fucking bubbly.
I've never heard that before. Daria, that's a good one.
I get told I'm very chill. Like, I'm very easygoing and I go with the flow. That's mostly what my friends would say. They're like, you're such a good listener. Smart. Thank you for what?
No, go ahead.
They're like, thank you for listening to our problems. I'm sorry if I'm talking too much. I'm like, no, I like listening. Like, it's part of being a friend, is listening to people and then helping if I can, you know?
That's true.
I was gonna say, you two are super smart, but super smart and cute girl. You both have a Daria vibe. you see the views of Butthead, you start making fun of them, and they don't even get it. That's the best part. Anyway, the other question I was gonna ask. Now you're just getting in the music business. This is the worst time to ever get in the music business.
I know.
I mean, like probably when you were growing up, people were making money putting out records.
Yeah.
There were records. There were CDs in the store. They had record stores. They had CD stores.
Yeah.
And now it's all streaming. And you know, I'm such an asshole. I've been going from free trial to free trial for the last 3 years. I'm on Tidal now. It's great. But in November, I'll be on something else.
That's so funny. Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, I guess, okay, the positive and negative. The negative is that you don't make music directly from your music. The positive is you can make music indirectly from your popularity. So if you ever feel like you don't want to do music anymore, like, you'll still have your popularity and still make money. So I guess, but I mean, I haven't made any money off of this yet. So I'm just like, ugh. So I'm just like, you know, like, I'm just like letting it, you know, do its thing. I'm seeing the progress. And so I'm just like, all right, we're making progress here. But I was like, you know, if progress is lost, then I'm going to have to figure it out, you know, because you really don't make anything
I think you're on the right track.
Thanks.
I genuinely like you even better as a person.
And thanks.
Last question. We ask this of everybody. And you don't have to answer it, but you'd be surprised how vanilla the answers we get. What is your fetish?
Okay.
What's the weird thing that you like?
All right. So I'm just like, what's the safest answer? Because, you know, all right, let's see. What's the safest answer here?
Whatever you're into.
I'm just like, what do I want on record is the question.
Exactly.
We'll put We'll put Golden Showers on the record.
Hmm. Interesting.
You like getting or receiving?
Receiving.
Huh. In the mouth. I meant to say receiving or giving. I said that wrong. Okay, but you like receiving. That's interesting. What is it about it?
It's the mind fuck. It's like, is this person really pissing in my mouth? It's just like, yeah, they're really pissing in my mouth. So then it's like, oh my God, they're pissing in my mouth.
All right.
You eat pineapple or something beforehand, or?
Huh?
You make them eat pineapple or something beforehand, or?
They have to have water, a lot of water.
You got to dilute it.
Yeah, I mean, I would keep that one to myself. But yes, a lot of water, and it's only like very selective. I mean, literally, like I have like a tier system. It's like a reward system, okay? Like, because people don't know, the only person that knows about Golden Showers is the person that I've been with for like 6 years. And then under that is my girlfriend now, who I've been with, you know, for a while, and she hasn't even given me a Golden Shower yet, but I'm open to it. Right, so well,
he must have good aim. And now the tens of thousands of Dark Mark Show listeners know. And
and now they will know, they can think about me getting Golden Showers when they hear it.
I hope they don't. I hope they look you up on whatever streaming service that they use and listen to their music, and they enjoy the rest of the interview. And
that too.
Yes. And they want to play video games with you.
Yeah, right? That's exactly. So cute. We can mod.
What a delight it has been, hasn't she, Nicole?
Oh, yeah. This has been wonderful.
Oh, thanks. Yes. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun. And
promote really whatever you want to promote. Guys, please.
Hmm? Thank you.
Promote what you want to, whatever you want to promote.
Oh, so follow me on IG _Ayoka_, and Stream Weekend is out now, and look out for the video because it'll be out soon. So Nightshade coming soon. Yay. Right. Thanks, guys.
And when we say Stream Weekend, we mean go to Spotify, go to Tidal, go to.
Yes.
Don't stream literally stream on your weekend. So.
Oh, yeah. Stream Weekend on. Yes. All streaming platforms on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple, everything, guys.
That was a horrible pee joke, but that's okay. Anyway, Nicole,
yes.
Tell everybody where they can get a hold of you.
I am Nicole6Books on Instagram, and I also have a blog on renegaderadio.com.
And I actually, my website's back up, darkmarkshow.com. I've got a show October 3rd at Flappers, if you're listening to this. Before October 3rd, and Goth Comedian on all social media. And Ayoka, you've been wonderful. Thanks for being with us. I had a great time.
Me too.
Awesome.
Now that I know that you're in LA, the three of us got to hang out one of these days.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to that Beetlejuice Cafe?
I haven't yet. Have you, Mark?
No, I haven't. Actually, people keep telling me to go.
We have.
I worked there, and I was supposed to go there once, and never even. We could either go there or the Star Wars, the cantina thing.
Oh, yeah, that's fun too.
We should have dinner at Beetle House and go over and drink at the Star Wars Cafe.
Let's do it. It sounds like a date. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week.
Bye.
For the weekend. Bye.